Amen. So good to be here. I'll just keep you standing for a moment. It'll help keep you awake. Don't worry. It's better. But you know what? I just want to say I'm grateful to be here. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be with, first of all, my friend, my brother, John Andes. And when I say that, Brother John has been a great influence in our lives. And he's been an influence when he came and visited us and introduced us to all kinds of weird diets and things and foods and stuff. You know, pancakes with peanut butter and stacked three times and jam and honey and tuss all over it. And I was never the same after that. But you know what? He set some good things in our home. He'd have devotion and he'd say, "Are you ready for the battle?" And, you know, and we have a son named Caleb and he says, "You got to be following Joshua," you know, and he would do all of that. So that's many years ago. And now even to this time, you know, even it was a few years ago, right at this time, Brother John at the Linden Fair, my wife and I were traveling and Brother John says, "Hey, I'll take your boys." And he took them for the whole evening. And that was when they were a lot more trouble. Well, they still are trouble, but anyway, that was when they were a lot more trouble. But it was good, and you know what? I just want to say this about Brother John, if I can, and he's a servant, and he loves people, and he has a heart for people, and that's the right thing to start with. And so, Brother John, we appreciate you. We applaud you. We applaud you. Amen. They asked Brother Branham one time, you know, we're looking for a church and you know, a pastor, somebody to lead us. He says, "Well, find somebody that's simple and humble and loves the Lord, and God will take care of the rest." Amen. So I believe that's wonderful. And I believe that in the eternities to come, the many, many little things Brother John's done will come back in a good way. So I can't hardly mention Brother John without mentioning Sister Sharon. And we appreciate Sister Sharon just standing beside Brother John. You know, we need to have extra prayer for her standing beside Brother John. She needs a lot of grace, but you know, she's just got this calming kind of way of, you know, and oh, John, it's okay, you know. And it's, you know, God knew, Sister Sharon, that Brother John needed someone like so. We really appreciate you. We appreciate the whole family, and I can't hardly stop without saying something to Brother Ken and Sister Joyce. I was just a young man, and I don't know if you ever remember. I was just 1985, 86. We stopped in Jeffersonville. Daniel was the only one of your family there, and he took us around. You were out evangelizing. He took us around Jeffersonville, showed us all the things, and then he invited us to stay over in his place. And the bed I got to sleep in that night was John's bed. And so I met Daniel before I ever met John. But beside his bed was spoken word books. So God bless you for raising your family. They took me into, I think it was spoken word maybe at the time, but you were the editor. You took us, and I've always appreciated just a firm stand on the word. Sister Joyce, I don't know if you remember, it was, I think the bus ride. Was it the bus ride? Yeah, and you were there. You were coming with your family out here, and I think you stayed at my wife's place at that time. So that was a little bit of payback for me for staying at your place uninvited. I stayed there and I left early, but we just want to say thank you, and we respect you. We respect what you've done, and it's an honor to have elders go before you, and I say not just in deed but in life. And so I know you've heard this, but I don't get a chance to say this often. So, I'm keeping you standing, but listen, that's less time for you to get weary and lazy and things. So, and I can't hardly stop and come through thinking that we went through Aldergrove and then the stalls. We came here many years, and we would stay at your little house in Aldergrove. You had that little suite, and Sam and Rebecca, and our kids kind of grew up with your kids. And so just so you know, we were at the restaurant today, and we saw your son. Garrett was there and with all of his kids, and they were there, and they were behaving. So it was good, and just want to let you know it's all well. The grandchildren were doing marvelous. They had him in one of these little booths at a sushi place, and he said it was perfect because they couldn't get out. So they had to stay in there. And so we greet you, and I can't hardly even, I'm going to go from one to the next, from one to the next. But Tim and Karen, God bless you. We appreciate you. He came from Alberta. He came out here to find a bride, and he stayed out here. He always loved British Columbia, and so he's here, and we appreciate always just the years of standing together. And I could keep going, but we'll save that for another service. How does that sound? And to the Powell family, if they're out there somewhere, but God bless them. We appreciate them. And we've known them. I don't know if we knew them because of pets and dogs and things or just because of the brotherly and sisterly type thing, but they've been a blessing to us. So we're happy to be here. We're not going to keep you long. As I said, I didn't expect to be here. But, I mean, I came to the airport. I flew into Vancouver. That's an hour and a half from where we live. And they were all groaning at the prospect of picking me up. I said, don't worry about it. And then I just mentioned it to Brother John. I'll be there. What time? Red carpet treatment picked me up. And I just said, okay, that's it. No matter what, I'm going to make it here. Because I tell you what, it's just too much. Let's stand. While we're standing, let's turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I didn't bring any notes. I'm sorry I missed the tag team this morning. But they did that because of me, and I hope it's worth it, because, and if nothing else. But Hebrews chapter 11, I was just, as we were sitting having lunch yesterday afternoon, and I was tired. I had driven to Saskatchewan the day before and back and to a funeral, and I just needed to go have a nap. And Brother John says, well, the Lord speaks in visions and dreams. You know, if something comes in, and so I didn't get anything right then. I was dopey when I woke up, Brother John. Somebody was I think talking to Brother Branham. He'd called him out in the office in the meeting, and somebody asked him, like, so when you were called out, what were you thinking? He said, I don't want to say anything. So, I mean, what do you mean you don't want to say anything? So, well, actually, I was wondering when he's going to close. So, wow. It wasn't very spiritual, was it? Yeah. And but I was just last night. I was in the service, and then just the Lord just moved some thoughts. So I'm going to take these little thoughts. May the Lord just put it together in the right way. And so we just want to invite the Lord, don't we? Just nice to visit for a moment. Forgive me, maybe just being casual and everything. But let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we read. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you even now just to be here tonight. And Lord, your amazing love and kindness and goodness to us. Father, what a great hour we live in to be able to serve you and to be able to be partakers of your glory. And Lord, as we just come here tonight, we just want to add a little something. I want to just say thank you for this assembly. Thank you for the efforts for outreach. Brother Mark, Brother John, all the brethren that are involved, those that are there. Oh, God, may you see the little work that they're doing, but may you prosper it, oh, God. Father, we thank you for the witness that they are in this community. We thank you for the lighthouse that is here. And so now, Lord, as we just come and maybe a few little thoughts, I just want to get myself out of the way. Lord, I don't have much that I could say myself, but, Lord, when you come and when you speak, then, Lord, we can be added. We can be benefited. So, Lord, take the scripture. Take the thoughts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's just read from verse 5. Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So we look to the rapture, we look to the translation as an event, as a moment in time, as something that's going to happen. But before it ever happens, there was something that God was pleased with. He had a testimony, he had a witness. There was pleasure. That word please means to excite God. In other words, God was would look at Enoch, and you know, we know the boast that God made about Job, but here he's looking at Enoch, and we know Enoch is a type of the last day's bride. But it would excite him. And I believe that God, there's no people on the face of the earth like the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. We are not living by a law. We are living by a relationship. We are living by a daily communion with God. And we want to please him. We want to let him find pleasure in our thoughts, in our actions, in our deeds. And none of us is perfect. None of us. We all make mistakes. But may God find something that is pleasing to him. So Enoch had this translation that he pleased God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We'll read the first three verses there. 1 John chapter 3, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Say that with me. Now are we the sons of God. Not we will be. Now we are the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. One more scripture in the book of James. This is in James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 13. And this is James just talking about our life here. He says, now, go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and contend there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Now he says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. And he asks this question, what is your life? It is a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. So I'm going to draw my text from verse 14. What is your life? It's a vapor. And I'm going to take this scripture, appearing for a little time. God bless you. You may have your seats. Now, I don't feel I'm prepared. I don't feel like I'm structured, but I'm just going by what the Lord has led me. It's Sunday night. I'm not going to keep you long, but if I can, I would just like to just let the Lord express what he would want to have expressed here today. I think it was Charles Dickens. I think he was a famous writer down in the South, in the States. Some of you that grew up there, you'd know him. But he had a book that he penned, and an opening line to the book was, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. And it set the stage, and you know, he used it, but really it is what we have around us right now. It is the best of times. It is the greatest of times. Never has there been a time like this time. Because God, before there ever was a speck of stardust, he had in his mind a bride. He had in his mind a people, the thoughts of God. And he had a people, and he thought about the bride. She was in his mind. And as the prophet would say, there were brides, there were brides, there were brides. But then there's coming a bride. And he had a thought, and if we could catch that the thoughts of God are being made manifest. They are being declared. Now that's on one side, and we can't see that. You know, we came the other day here, and we met a family, and actually it was Brother Kyle Morton, and we saw his children, and we hadn't seen him for a couple years. Well, his daughter, the last time we left, she was here, and now she's here, and I'm going, wow, what do they feed you on the island there? Like, that is amazing. Like, see, when you don't see anybody on a daily basis, there's all this growth, right? But when we're here and we see ourselves in the mirror every day and we see those around us, it doesn't look like much is happening. But God is doing a work. He's forming it. And so sometimes we can't measure it by the day to day. But it's happening. It's changing. You know, and so we've got to be able to see that. So now, as we can say, it is the best of times. Now, I'm going to come around to this, but let me just also say it's the worst of times, because it's never been as wicked as it is now. The earth is groaning. The earth is groaning, we know, for the manifestation of the sons. But in Romans chapter 8, it would talk about the earth groaning, and I'll just rehearse it from me. You don't have to turn to it. It says, but we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. So that groaning is in creation, it's in nature, it's in the earth, in earthquakes, and it's in it's manifested in storms and winds and what they call climate change and all of it. But the earth is under stress. And it's under that, and it would talk about, it says that the creation is groaning and travailing in pain. And so you can take the natural, you know, and it would say, you know, you can even, brother, we prayed in the office and we're talking about Israel. I mean, Israel is under a great groaning. As of the recent attacks that they had on the leaders of Hamas and Hezbollah, and it says now all the U.S. airlines have canceled their flights to the Middle East because they're expecting something to happen. There's a 24-hour video cam on the mosque of Omar because they're expecting something to happen. And so the earth is groaning. It's in the peoples. It's in politics. It's a weaving. It's a heaviness. It's happening. And if they could only recognize it, because the next verse says, and it says, we ourselves groan within ourselves. So, you know, why the earth is groaning, it's because it's desiring to bring forth us. Now, you can go down to the political office and tell them, hey, I know the reason why you're having all this trouble. It's because we're here, and it's the season of our redemption. They'll look at you like, who are you? But, you know, really, if we could see that there is a wheel, but in the middle of that wheel, God has a wheel in the middle of the wheel. And we are a part of it, and we've been called to it, and doesn't look like much. But I would say if you're locked in with God and you're in a prayer life and you see God moving in little things in your life, and I would say it is more real. And we sometimes miss it. We don't see it for what it is. We don't see how God works on our behalf and answers prayers on our behalf, but he's there for us. So it's a natural groaning. You know, the peoples, the leaders, the different things. And here we are, we're thrust in the middle of it. Now, I'm going to just try to slow down for a moment here. And, you know, we are in this world, and I would say you will go crazy if you try to war after the flesh. Let me take what Brother Branham would say here. This is in the... the message, greatest battle ever fought. And he's just talking about it. He says, now, Satan's army brings diseases. He's a destroyer. He says, all of that comes because of Satan, but God is life, faith, peace, joy. Now, these two great forces, they're coming together right now. He says they're battling. They're battling in this building right now. They're with you day by day, every force. Satan following you along, a big Goliath trying to scare the liver out of you. He has no power, but he's trying to scare the liver out of you. And he says, but you're fortified. And he says, you come to meet me in the name of science and culture and organization. I was aghast when I have loved sports. I watched the Olympics, and In the opening ceremonies, they had kind of a mockery of the Last Supper. And it was with transphobic people. It was such a disgrace that the next day in Paris, Christians went on the streets just complaining, because it was just like another level. And that's the way the world is going. It's going further and further and further. And Satan's doing everything he can. But here's what Brother Adam says: Satan's army brings diseases. So they're going to come. They're going to happen. But he said, but God's army is commissioned to cast them out. I believe we ought to take our place. So every time Satan comes and throws anything on you, cast him out. And he says, that's God's way of doing it. Cast down the evil. Now he says it this way. He says, cast down reasonings, superstitions, worry. Like, look at these things. They're all spiritual. They're not natural things. He says, now, superstitions, worry, diseases, cast down sin. You're above it. You're resurrected in Christ Jesus. You're sitting in heavenly places. And he says, if the devil starts to stick his head in there, he said, what is it? Your life is hid. Is hid, and you're dead to those senses. You're dead to your conscience. So if I could say it the way Paul said it in 2 Corinthians, I think it's 2 Corinthians, he says, though we're in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, you know, and to take that just for a moment, if I can, he will talk about it, and he'll say this, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of God. Now, I'm going to be transparent and honest, because I believe that God is pleased with it when we do it. But there's a lot of times that we're in the form, in our flesh, following through, but our thought life is contrary. We're standing there with doubt. We're standing there with things. And God wants to bring these together. He doesn't want us to be thinking one thing, going through motions, but we need to be sincere and bring these things together. I believe that's what God would be pleased with. So we have so many converging elements that are coming on us. Now, I'm going to read this. But Ken, I find this amazing when I think about where we're really at. And we are in a generation like no other. And let me say it this way. If you lived in the days of Luther, you went to church. You didn't go down to church and say, where are you going? Oh, I'm going down to hear the Sardisian church age messenger. He's a star in the hand of God, and he's been set. That wasn't what they had. They didn't know that up here. But what they knew was in here. And what they knew, they followed. And I think we know what we're supposed to be. We know what we're supposed to act like. And sometimes we try to do it from here instead of from here. But I say, and if you're a young person, you're an elderly person, let's not just follow through. Well, I have to sing, and I have to do this, and I have to show up, and I have to pay my tithes. But Lord, let it drop into my heart. Let me not just be a believer in form, but let it be down here where it's expressing you. So in this message, and it's in the breach where Brother Branham is saying, now, the earth is groaning, trying to get back to an original condition. And he says, now they're trying to do all these things. I'm not going to have time to read all of this, but they know there's something wrong. They're trying to get back to where they ought to. Now he says, they are not, these are the exact words he used, they are not in their ought-to-be condition. So there's something in us. The more we go into the Word, the more we see and catch the vision of what God has, We know that I'm not happy with myself. You know, the person I've been most disappointed with in our church assembly is myself. There's other people, but I'm disappointed in myself that I've let down God, that I have not always been at my optimum, that I haven't been. But, you know, it pushes me forward. And I say, now, I'm not in my ought to be. I've fallen. Now, see, We know we had eternal life, and we have lost our claims on that eternal life by the fall of Adam and Eve, and we're all under this nature unto death. And he says, now, there's so much I could read here. I just wanted to catch this about the ought-to-be condition. Now, he says, okay, so right and wrong is set before you, and we are free moral agents. You know, one of the things that I would say that separates the bride in this time is we're not just under rules and regulations. Amen. You know, rules and regulations, you present the message that you need to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to do this, that will never bring anybody to a rapturing condition. Yeah, that's right. Rules and relationship without rules and regulations without relationship brings you to rebellion. I don't want to raise my children that way. I don't want to bring the church that way. But I would rather, as Brother Branham would say in the last paragraph of the Church Age book, he said, I've not come to start a denomination or an organization or a following, but I am here to bring a people into a relationship with God. So he wasn't trying to follow this and do this. No, it was between them and God. And I think that's what a real servant and a real shepherd, a real shepherd leads his sheep. He doesn't boss them, but he leads his sheep. And I say a real father leads his home. We need people to lead, and we need these things. So now he'll be talking. He's talking about this, and his brother Branham is just saying this is that we need to come to a place where we're free moral agents, but we're making the right decision by love. We're making it by choice. The devil, he'll come. Years ago we had a brother spoke a young people's meeting, and he entitled his service, If only I'd known then what I know today. When your kids, remember, used to play hide and go seek, but there's a version of it called kick the can. So you're all hiding, and the person who's looking, he's close to the can, because if he sees you, he tags you. But if you could bypass him and get to the can first and kick it, everybody was free. Now, if only I had known that they'd filled that can with concrete before I kicked it, right? See, we all have regrets. If only I had known. He was also sharing, if only I'd known my wife was going to get in an accident, I wouldn't have removed the insurance the week before. So we all have regrets. We all have mistakes. We all have failures. And there's things that as a young man, I remember I just had been saved, and the Word of God was, and one of the great revelations was out of Revelation 17, about a great whore dressed in scarlet, and it just struck me. It's the Catholic Church. And I was just young. I was like a few weeks into the Word, and I happened to work with a Catholic guy at church. Hey, and he's Catholic, devout Catholic. And I said to him, hey, did you know that church is the mother whore? And he's like, whoa. I think I destroyed anything I'd ever have to witness to him again. Like, it was wonderful, but I it was a revelation, but I wish I'd used a little bit more wisdom in presenting it. And God bless you all for putting up with us as ministers when we're growing and doing things. But so there's a certain things, like even today I look back, and we can all look back and we can say, I wish I would have handled that better. I maybe it's raising family. I wish I would have taken more time on this. But I believe God, I'm trying to get to my thought. I'm having a tough time here. But, God wants us, even through our natural mistakes, to come to a place where we recognize who we are in this world. He called Abraham. God called Abraham. He knew what was in Abraham. But he was trying to bring Abraham to the knowledge of what was in him. Even through his mistakes, even through what he did, he was trying to get him to know, Abraham, I have known you. The world doesn't know you. Even you don't know yourself, but I have known you. And you are appearing for a little time. You are going to be an expression in the great kingdom of God. And if he can bring us to that expression of who we are in the moment, in the time that we are here on earth, we often view it that we are just creatures of trying to climb into eternity. But really, we were always in the mind of God. So therefore, we are not just creatures of time. We are eternal creatures having a time experience. And while I'm here in time, let me express the part of God that I've been meant to express. Let me not have regrets. And I will have some, I'm sure. But the blood of Jesus is there for them. You know, Brother John came one time and he spoke, think about what it'll be like the first 5 minutes in heaven. The first 5 minutes in heaven. And he says, you know, you'll get over there and all of a sudden everything will be clear. No, it'll, you know, why did this have to be and why did that have to be? You know, and then we'll realize, you know, why did I worry about this? Why did I spend time on this? And why did I do those things? So what God's trying to give to us as we feed on the Word, as we read the Word, as we're in fellowship and communion, as we're doing these things, is that we are here working for eternity. We are in time, and we're here on as part of His program. But, oh God, let me, while I'm here, express the part. Oh, One of the writers at Azusa Street in 1906 was a man named Frank Bartleman. And I loved his writings and readings and how God dealt with him and he penned things so well. He talked about moments. He says, we entered into prayer, and he says it was so sacred. This other brother and him, they were under a great groaning and they left. He said it was so sacred we couldn't even talk to each other after. He would talk and he even made the statement. He said, really, the crux of the revival was 6 months. And after that, he said, I already witnessed a decline. And he made this statement. He said, there's coming one more move. This is not the final move. One more move. So this is a man who caught his vision, but also recognized the part that led up to it and the part that was to follow. And we need to see what part we play. And he was such a great man, but he made this comment about the stars, and he says, you know, they come, they cross the earth, they appear for a sign, for a season, and they come, and like a mighty flame, God calls them on the scene, and then he takes them and dispatches them. Now, we need to recognize, as much as we're here, and we know the message, and this is it, and we're the people. This is way bigger than Brother Ed Hammermeister or Brother John. This is way bigger than the greatest man in this message. This is at God's sovereignty, at God's calling. We are here at His pleasure. I'm not here for myself. And so he would make these statements. And, you know, so if we begin to look at, we don't always see who we are. And you know, little did I know many, many years ago, and It was actually 40 years ago this year, and Cloverdale had their first meeting, and it was at a high school auditorium, and it was a convention, and I remember Brother Theo Erasmus was there, Brother Vin Dial was there, Brother Martin Halaston was there. There were other brothers that were there. I still remember it well, and in 1983, God had been dealing with me, but I knew I wanted to be baptized, but I determined I'm going to these meetings, and I'm going to be baptized. And when I was young, I used to go, Brother Dale, to the Saskatchewan camp meetings where the believers were singing, and they would do their baptisms in the river like John the Baptist, and I thought, that's how I want to be baptized. It's a camp, and I'm going to go down by the river, and I'm going to be baptized in nature like John the Baptist, and something's going to... I was so disappointed when I was baptized in a log church. But you know what? The church is gone, but the baptism holds. So we thank God for that. But that was 40 years ago. I didn't know that. I didn't know that 40 years later I would be here, and I was just struggling. But you know what? I'm here, and it's by the grace of God and by the providence of God. And I didn't know when I first crossed paths with Brother John, and it was just a few years later, and I didn't know all of these things. And even now when we talked, as he would come to our church from time to time and be a blessing to us, and I didn't know we'd be standing here today. I don't know what will be tomorrow. I don't know what will be, but we're here appearing for a little time. And I think we want to make the best of it. I think we ought to say, oh God, I'll take every energy. I'll take it for this time, because what you do today will reflect tomorrow. So thank the Lord for that. Now, I made some notes, but they really are all over the place. So I'm just going to just follow through as the Lord is leading me here. Now, I've been reflecting on this thought a little bit on You know, there's many ways that we can experience God. And we can come into a church and an atmosphere, and we can enjoy the atmosphere, but that can tingle our senses, that can do something, and that's there's nothing wrong with that. That's good. You can even go in and in your spirit realm, you can experience God. God can speak to your conscience. He can bring your memory back to something. He can do, and there's a level of that. But there's a level of God consciousness that the world is trying to take away from us. So the enemy is trying to take us. What's he trying to do to us? And I just thought, as I was in the back office, I just thought of this. But it was at the time Brother Branham was here. Now, I want you to think about this. Here's Brother Branham. This is the vessel God is using to bring a message. So he is not the messenger he's the voice, but behind the voice there's God bringing something to his people. And Brother Branham is there, and he's speaking, and I remember, I think Brother Ken, you might know where this is, but there was a prayer line, and a brother came there, and he came to Brother Branham after, and he apologized, and he said, "Brother Branham, I'm sorry, I was there. And I just felt all these ungodly thoughts, and I apologize." And he says, "Oh, brother, that wasn't meant for you. That was meant for me. You just got in the way." So what was the devil attacking? He was attacking what God was doing. He was trying to get him to diminish his role on earth. When he was a 12-year-old boy, he said, "A spirit hung over me." And he says, even though God was dealing with me, I couldn't accept it. So now there was an expression required that God was looking, but the enemy was against it. Now here he's talking here, and he's talking about Brother Blair. And he says, now I want you just to think about how the enemy is working. He says, this Brother Blair, he's a minister. He says, and he says, he was in the audience, and an evil spirit was trying to get to that man to make him doubt me. Now watch what happened. He says, I said to him, "You might need me sometime." It wasn't until a few weeks later his wife called me and the man was dying. Now the man accepted. He knew it was the devil trying to get him to some kind of a hoax, but was it by prayer we drove that evil for him? Now look at this. Satan knew that a time was coming that man would be dying. So there he was working to try to lay doubt to everything. Wow. Now that devil is not working on Brother Branham now. Where's he working? He's working on us. He's working on a many-membered body. He's working on us to get us to doubt one another. He's working on us to argue or fuss with one another. He's working with us to try to create any kind of dissension. What is it? It's the manifestation of God in the season that we're living in. It's the coming together of the bride. Now, this is a whole different message, and I'm working on these things for home, but we're going to find out that we're going to need each other. You're going to find out that there's times that you don't have everything it takes within yourself. You're going to realize God has made another person or another brother to help fill. And it says, when we get together, and then he says, when the bride knows who she is, when she recognizes her position. And I will say, we are called not just to an individual position, but we're called to be part of a body. The head is here. Where is the body? The body must come together. Now, he's talking on this level, and now he's talking to it. I'm just using these, and I'll just tell you why I'm doing this, because I have found on a level like never before, the enemy is bombarding our minds, people in our churches, and if you're honest, and I'm honest, there's days I wake up, I don't feel very spiritual. Right. And I go like, what is wrong? Forgive me. And you know what? And then I recognize, it's him, that devil. And so you have to begin to cast him out. So now he's talking to this man. He's saying to this man, and it's, now, you're facing a nervous breakdown. Run quickly. Lay the things that's in the past in the past. Look to God. You're a minister of the gospel. He says, you didn't know what it was. I didn't know what it was, but I see it now. You are coming to a breakdown. The devil is putting everything in your mind, trying to get you to turn against, even against me. That's thus saith the Lord. Tell him he's a liar. Accept it now, and that will leave you and never come back on you. I challenge you, he says, this man came to me this morning, but there it is, that dark shadow, but now I see it. It's exposed. Friends, now that was in the time when the prophet was here. But think about what's coming against your brother and sister. So what does the enemy do? He'll get you to look at some natural thing, and you know, you just begin to get a thought. And you know, I'm telling you what, I'm more of a glass half full guy. I'm not inclined, you know, even though there might look negative, I just say, I'll give somebody that I don't know what they've been through. I don't know the battles they've faced. But I'll stand there rather than look downward, I'll say, Lord, help them. Lift them up. Do whatever you can, O Lord. And I because I believe we're intercessors for one another. We are not here just to cast judgment, but we're here to help one another. We're here to intercede for one another. You know the example that Brother Branham gave of the husband and the wife, and as the brother, I think it was maybe Brother Paul Rader or whatever it was, and he said they had a little fuss coming out of the house as they were there, and that would never happen here, but just in case somebody's, you know, but they're leaving the house, And as they're leaving, and he says, well, he's walking. If that's the way she thinks, so be it. And then he's walking. It wasn't too long. And now what if something happens to her? What if this happens? And he thought, yeah, you know, you're right. Let me just go back. Now, there was no long-winded apology, letter to the church, or anything like that. It was as simple as touching her, embracing her with feeling. And he says, I love you. And then he walked on. And I think we ought to just take the best, think the very best of our children, think the very best of our grandchildren. That's easy to do, by the way. Think the very best of your brother and sister.
Yes,
amen. So, just so you know, I have a grandson here. And the reason we came, actually, this doesn't sound spiritual, but we knew there was meetings. We knew the weather was nice. We knew that we have a son-in-law and a daughter. But the videos and pictures they kept sending, we're sitting there on Wednesday morning. I said, Sandy, I says, this is the tipping point. We've got to go. It is the tipping point. So, you know, I remember when we had our children and our my in-laws, you know, they'd come, they'd greet you. I used to be number one, right? And called the favorite son-in-law. That you have to know the inside joke. I'm the only one. But anyway, the favorite son-in-law. They used to look, hey, Ed, how are you? Now I have a daughter. And they're not even looking at me. Hey, Ed, how are you? Oh, da, 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 da. Yeah. And now I just did it. And I go, oh, I fell in the trap. Anyway, how did I interrupt myself? Okay. Now, I'm going to, and just this is maybe I'm just trying to, I was thinking the other day, we had our meetings, and as ministers we met, and Brother Wayne Lawson, Brother, was there, and we had also Brother Menno Friesen spoke, and it was really wonderful, and as they were speaking, we also had Brother David Seiler there, and we had a meeting, and it was really good, and we just talked about the message and even the doctrines of the message, and we know that we could name names. There's been thunders, there's been, you know, there's been two souls, there's been different things. But if some of these men who have gone by the way of the grave could look down and see what's going on and how they've twisted, I would venture to say a lot of them would say, hold on, that's not what I wanted.
Right.
And I would like to come back and change that and rewrite that. So it's important that we can say, now, I'm not here to project myself, but I'm here to project Christ, to propagate the gospel, and to recognize, that if I should go, there has to be somebody that's going to pick up what I've left behind. What do I want to leave to the generation behind? What do I want to leave? And I really began to think about how the enemy takes the things of the world, and he takes, you know, he dulls our senses. He takes, and I just feel like I just got to leave my notes and just take what's on my heart. He takes and he dulls our senses with music, and it could be just it could be good gospel music, but it could be just entertainment and not worship. It could be a YouTube video, and before you know it, 2.5 hours of watching that, and you've watched a few things you didn't want along the way. You saw some commercials you didn't want, and you spend time in social media. You do all those things, and it dulls your senses, and now you're just caught in the temporal of what's around us, and you're just caught, and here's the devil. He'll get you in that realm, and then he'll condemn you, and then you'll just feel like I got to get out of it. And maybe you have a measure of victory, but your victory is now measured by maybe those around you. Well, at least I'm doing better than so-and-so. Oh, listen, this is not what God wants to bring us to. When I was in university for a little while, and they did the scoring of results based on the average of the results. So it's called being measured by the curve. And so you have this curve, and the curve that you're being measured by is, you know what the rest of the class does. So they say that the bulk will be in the middle, and there'll be a real few bright ones at the one end, and there'll be some that are on the bottom end. But what if I was in a really smart class, and I was above average? I would be put down at the bottom, and I'm going, hey, I'm better than this. But what if I was in a dumb class, and they put me right at the top, and I'm going, wow, look at me. Listen, we measure ourselves by ourselves, but that is not what God wants. He wants to measure us not by this moment in time, not by what the world around us is doing, not by how, well, I'm doing okay, I'm doing this. No, but by looking into the Word, by seeing that image in me. Lord, am I reflecting what you are? Am I doing this? That is our real measure of who we are. That is who I want to project myself as. And so all of these senses, they dull us, and we don't recognize sometimes. We'll walk into church, and we won't recognize here's the Spirit of God trying to move, trying to penetrate. But we're sitting there with a lot of unbelief, and I've been guilty of it. So we've all been guilty. We're tired. We have different things. Sometimes we have bad attitudes. But I'm saying, God, forgive us and help us to move on. And Lord, let me come into your presence, and let me recognize you're moving and be sensitive to it. And Lord, let me recognize you have something you're trying to express through me. I am ashamed. I was driving down the road or whatever it was, and I forget. And I don't know, Sandy, if you remember, but it was something. Anyway, I reacted wrongly to a driver or to somebody. And I thought, oh, Lord, and it just convicted me. And I said, and I was, it just, I came into the presence of God, and it just, and I thought, how that must have looked, not in the light of my own thing, but in the light of a holy God. And as me, as an ambassador on earth for him, and I thought, Lord, let me not live my life just in this little realm, in this little measure of what it is. You know, we look at the other churches, we look at other believers, we look at this, but oh God, let me see Jesus, let me see you, and let me measure my life by that, and let me live by that. You know, somewhere God, you know, I think it was Brother Branham was in a, I think it was at Clifton's cafeteria or whatever it was, and it was some other place. And he was walked into a washroom, and he says it was just so filthy, the smell and everything and all of these things. And he says, I didn't even want to touch anything. I don't know if anybody's like that, but, you know, didn't want to touch anything. And he says, that's how this world looks to God. And I thought, but yet we get so comfortable. We just tell a joke, and you know, then we lead to another joke, and it's just slightly off, and you just feel the Holy Spirit has left you somewhere. I say, God, let me be God conscious. Let me be in a place where I can dwell in the realm here. Now, I'm just sharing these few things in my heart, but these things were just coming to me yesterday when I responded to you, and I just said, okay, I'll just share this. But 1 John chapter 5, if I can, just a couple of scriptures. How are we doing here for time? Now he would, 1 John chapter 5, now, and I'm, no, 1 John chapter 1, I'm sorry. It talks about in the beginning was God, but how everything was made by him. And it would say this in verse 5, and it says, and let's read verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Now just think about this. This was the creator of the world. He's down in earth here, and the earth didn't recognize him. Yeah. And he would say, you know, and Brother Branham would take the foot wash flunky, and he would take that example, and he says, here he is, and if he would have recognized who he was in front. Right. Now, we're in the same place. What will you do with this Jesus called Christ? What will you do with the Word in your midst? And the Word is now not expressed through one vessel, but through a many-membered vessel. And I say, what will I? How am I treating him? My attitude to my brother is my attitude to him. And if we're sitting there with a critical spirit or whatever it is, and I've just seen, you know, I'm grateful because despite myself, I see God doing some things, and I'm here, and somebody's coming to me and just preached my heart out, and they're coming to me about something I said in the service, and they're just coming headbore, and I'm going, okay, and I said, do you want to just hang on for a minute? And I go back in the office, say, God, help me, please, and I say, okay, and I sit down and talk a little bit. You know what's helped me a little bit sometimes is just to be quiet and listen. Not to rail off. And then I just go along and I just say, you know what? You actually make a good point.
I do?
Yeah, you do. And I said, I can see some of where you're coming from. And now it settles. And I witnessed this in Brother Harold over time as he went. And it was just more of a humility in counsel and in things. And I recognized this is God doing that. And now the devil would want to push a button and have me get into an argument, shoot a bunch of quotes back to him, and him shoot quotes to me, and it doesn't resolve anything. And I just recognize, oh God, give me the Spirit of Christ. And so he went, I said, you know what, can we follow this up some other time? So we did. We went later that afternoon, we're at a picnic, and here he comes again. I said, you know what, we just had a good service. Can we just follow? Well, 3 days later he comes, so now it was an hour and a half on the phone, and I go, thank you, Lord. And after he finished, and I said, you know what? Somehow you've let me get everything off of my chest, and thank you. I just want to say I appreciate you. And I said, okay, wonderful. Now, I didn't always react like that. But what's God doing in our midst, friends? We are called, we're defined. You know, God puts something in us. We are the thoughts of God. You know, and we don't know who we are. Just like Jesus here, he's the darkness didn't comprehend it. We didn't know who we are when we were just young men, Brother John. We didn't know where we would be one day. We still don't know fully where we are, but God's doing something in us. And now he says, he was, in verse 9, he was the true light that lights every man that comes in the world. He was in the world, but the world knew him not. The world was made by him, but the world knew him not. And I'd say those, and then he goes, as many as received them, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And I believe that there's something in us that God is desiring to express. And I think he's bringing us to it slowly. And we need to recognize, listen, I am a three-part being. My flesh causes me lots of grief. My spirit causes me grief. But down in my soul, there is something that loves God. There's something that I'm becoming subject to. There's something. And so I don't paint everybody with the brush of what I see on the outside. I don't paint everybody with how they react to things. But I say, God, that is your son, that is your daughter, and I'm inclined to think the best, and I'm inclined to think good thoughts of them. And I want to be in a position to bring redemption, to impart eternal life, not just to pass judgment on people, but to be redemptive in my words, to be redemptive in my thoughts. Now, I've lost my notes as little as I had here, but in the message, Presence of God Unrecognized, Brother Branham is saying this. He's appearing to us in these meetings for one purpose, to release our desires that we have in him to us. So I watched my daughter as she grew up, and firstborn, strong-willed, but yet she had a soft spot. She had these characters, these little dolls, and she put them all in a thing, and she played with them, and I recognized, wow, this is amazing. And then we had a son, and my son, he put all those characters, he put them all this, and then he took a truck and drove over them. And I go, okay, that's a different expression. That it just, it's different. And I said, okay. And I began to look at it. And then the next son, well, he did it differently, because after he drove over me, he fixed it, because he loved to fix things. So I thought, man, God has this all in order. One sets it up, one runs over it, one fixes it. I said, we got it all in one household. It's wonderful. And so now I want you to think, we have these desires. So a real sister has these desires for motherhood. It's not expressed. I don't know if my son-in-law and my daughter are listening tonight, but you know, they were pretty focused about, you know, we've got to get the house, we've got to do this, we've got to do this. And, you know, and then God just gave them grace in some difficult circumstances, and they had a child. I've just watched their lives change. I go, wow. And I go, he's a great dad, and he's a great mom, and wow, this is like, it just blossomed because it was always there. Now, Brother Ram's talking about this woman with the issue of blood. He says, now, she had in her a fault or a need, but he was the Savior, and he had what she needed. And he says, now, in her, he put this desire in her, if I can only touch him. Now, nowhere do you find in the Bible that anybody would just touch him. But God put that desire in her. Now, I want you to think about what he put in you. He put a desire in you that only this message can fit. He put a desire in you and how you treat people and how you react. It's in there. But we need to get in the presence of God for it to manifest and for it to come out the way it should. He put it in me to have fellowship with brethren. It's not in me to be argumentative. It's not in me to put things down. But it's in me to be a part of a body, to lift up the body. And I think we ought to recognize the season we're in and what the enemy is doing. And now he says, she said, if I could only touch his garment. And with that genuine faith, that negative became a positive to her. What did it release? It released his power to heal her. It touched him in such a way and said, your faith has saved you. Now, others standing there may have been sicker than she, but she recognized his presence. It was her opportunity. Now, I feel like every one of us has got some negative or some defect or something. But I believe the answer is in him. Hallelujah. And I believe there's also a faith that wants to be expressed. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, I don't have time to read it all, and there's so much. But, you know, it said, some, they had these great things. They overcame the mouth of lions. They did all these other things. And others gave their lives that they may obtain a better resurrection. I believe there's something in the believer for the hour that we're living in. Just like there was something in Esther for the time and the season that she was living in, so is there something in us. And I feel like I don't want to be governed by what everybody else is doing, but I want to look at him. And I just want to have the liberty to be who I am in him. I don't want to worry about what everybody else might say. I don't want to worry about the opinion. I don't want to take polls. I if I come in a church and I feel like I want to stand up and worship, I want to stand up and worship. But if he finds pleasure in it. And if everybody stands up and worship and I want to sit down, then I can find pleasure in sitting down. I don't want to be under bondage. I want to be under freedom to be who He is in me. I believe we ought to give that much room to the believer to be in contact with their Maker. Now, so this woman, she had something that nobody else could fit. And now it's something we have seen through history. You know, the woman that sold her alabaster box and bought perfume and did this, and Jesus would even say of her, because of what you've done, all the world will speak of it. Now think about this. She lived her life just for that moment in time. She did Him a service when everybody else was doing. And I feel like every member of the body contributes. Now, your contribution may be small and nobody notices it, but I believe it's positive to the body. I believe God's already put it in your heart. And I believe we need to allow it to activate and allow it to come into fruition and to come into the place that God wants it to be. I'll say all things are possible. There are some impossible situations in our ranks. There are some situations that you think, how can this ever be? And I'm just trying to condense my thoughts. I bear witness to the testament of my mother, who had written Brother Branham in 1963 on behalf of my father, but held that letter for almost 50 years before she ever saw God do anything. Wow. And my father maybe never accepted the message, but at the end he turned his heart and he looks at me and he says, I don't know what you're doing, but you're doing the right thing. Wow. And then he would say to me, and he was at a religious spirit, and then he would say to me, he says, I may not live for another 1,000 years, but I know there's something for me on the other side. Now, everybody's got a place. Yes. I'm alive because of the prayers of my mother. I would be at a party, you know, a party's going on 1:30, 2 o'clock, 2 o'clock, all of a sudden the party just stops, everybody goes, the music shuts down. People, and I go, what in the world happened here? This is just so disappointing. I get home, I come into the living room quietly as I always did, and here's my mom in the living room. She says, I woke up at 2 o'clock. And you weren't there, so I started praying. And I go, Mom, stop that. But you know what? Those prayers saved me. God saved me, but He used somebody to do it. And I believe we all have a part. This is simple. It's a Sunday night. I don't want to wear you with something heavy. This is what God has just given me. But There's a brother in this area, and he had told me his testimony just recently. And he said his wife had passed away after a lengthy battle in cancer. And then he just said he was just didn't know. He was very distraught. And he said he was driving down through the United States, and he came to a place beside a dam. And he said, you know what? If I just drive over this dam, I'll be with her right now. And at that instant, God spoke to him, you need to listen to such and such a tape. Wow. And he goes, my. He shook it off. He drove another half an hour. He came to a motel room. He said, I'll just check in. He got up in the morning. Okay, I'm just going to carry on down the road. Mistakenly, he goes right back to the dam. And a voice says to him, you need to listen to this tape. And the tape was Warning Then Judgment. And he says, because he was so distraught over all this whole thing. And he said, the things, this is what Brother Bram says, the things you don't know about here, when you get to the other side, you'll understand why it had to be that way. And he said, that just gave him faith. He just began to understand. Well, as time would pass and had a daughter that went to another country and met somebody, went over there. Well, he met somebody. And it wasn't long after. Now, he said, we've been married 20 years. And he points back, what a horrible mistake I would have made. But for that moment in time when God spoke to me and He came and He intercepted my path. I believe that God has great promises for us and things that He wants to do in us. So we may not have come to it, but I'm just saying, I'm just trying to, you know, Jesus, when He came to earth, He came directly from theophany to flesh. So in theophany, he knew all things. So he came to flesh directly. Now we bypassed our theophany. And we didn't know that we had representation. But we have that representation by a theophany, and we are coming to the age, we're coming to the age where we're in contact with our theophany. You look at somebody that's about to pass away or go off the scene, they get kinder, they get gentler. What is it? It's their earthly is starting to match up with the heavenly. It's getting ready to receive it. It's doing that. But now collectively in the bride as a body, we're getting ready for a translation. So that spirit is now coming over a body. We're being conditioned to hear one voice. We're becoming conditioned to one spirit. And I believe, you know, as we do it, and as Brother Man would say, and who is this Melchizedek? You heard from something, you left off the other thing. What was it? You heard from your theophany. And you begin to recognize there's a part of me inside that I can't understand, but it's there, it's real, it has representation, and I want to be in tune with that. I want to be in tune with it as I go to work. Now, I'm not trying to make this super spiritual, but I'll say it governs you. It governs you when you're asleep and you wake up with thoughts in your mind. Who's doing that? It's him, and it's the part of you that has representation. When you wake up and now you're going to drive somewhere and something says, whoa, don't go down that road, you get a warning or something happens. What is it? It's always with you. But it's coming closer, and it's coming closer to us all the time. And I believe it's that we're not just measuring this by knowledge, but I believe it's a life with God. I think it was Brother Jack Wallach just preached this the other day, and he's talking about how he was a young man. He didn't want God, but God had other plans for him, spoke to him. And now he says he's in the Pentecostal ranks, and he says he just sees religion for all it is. He had great experiences in the supernatural and manifestations. And he says, and he met a brother who was preaching things. Now he was a Pentecostal preacher, and he was preaching the message, but he never let anybody know about a message. And it sounded good to him. And one day he caught the brother, and he said he gave him a book, and it was called The Rising of the Sun. And he took the book and he opened it up and he said, that day I realized I have a soul. I realized I have a flesh, I have a spirit, and I have a soul, because he opened that book and he says, as I read it, I felt like somebody was writing on my soul. And there was something that was deeper than just the flesh, deeper than just the spirit. There was something that God is writing in us, and it is real. It's a part of him. It's the oneness that he is desiring with man and God. My, my, my. I have just gone. We're we are in a wonderful, wonderful time. Let me just try to take my thoughts now. This God consciousness. Like we need to move into it. We don't want to be unawares. I appreciated, and I believe God ministers to us and places things in our hearts, and they remain dormant maybe, but then he brings them up. He warns us from dangers. He brings these things. When my wife and I raised our family, and I really want to say, I just want to give credit to my wife, because she was a real mother. She, when we had children, she laid down everything, and she spent her time for her kids. We couldn't homeschool. She didn't feel she had the tools, but she was involved in school. And we had kids in our neighborhood, and our kids played with their kids. And over time, they said, well, just come over to our house. And my wife just made it a mandate. We talked about it, and she said, no, I can't control what goes on in that house. I don't know what television is, what music, what language, what atmosphere. They're always welcome at our house. And this was just young. They're just kids. It's just an innocent little birthday party. But an innocent birthday party turns into a slumber party, turns into now it's young men and young women together. Well, I'm glad God put in our heart to see a vision down the road, and to see down the road, this is not going to be right. This is not going to be healthy. This is not going to be good. And I believe God puts things in our heart to help us to move forward, to keep going. And I believe we need to take heed to it. But there has to be a place where that can be learned. It can be integrated. That's why it's important to read your Bible, pray every day. What's the hardest thing? That's the hardest thing. I believe it's important to be under the sound of the gospel. I learn when I'm tired. I learn when I'm tired. That's when the enemy will trap me and get me thinking thoughts and get me going places. And I just realized, okay, I don't need to be in the middle of crisis, the mystery of God revealed, but let me listen to something else, or let me listen to a testimony, or because it's still working in me. And let me be in good company, and let me do these things. But what am I doing? I'm channeling everything that He's put into me. I am keeping it. I am holding it. I'm allowing God to use it for the time and the season that He would want. And I believe God wants us to know. Now, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 13. I really have skipped a bunch of scriptures. I feel this is so broken up, but I'm sharing some of what just on my heart, and maybe you're getting some of my thoughts, and maybe when I preach it at home, I'll send you the tape when it really is good and it's right form and everything. My goodness. Listen, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, this is so well placed between chapter 12 and chapter 14. Chapter 12, talking about how the body is used and how God brings different gifts in the body. Chapter 14, which really deals with prophecy and all the voices and things. But in the middle, he has this thing, and Paul would say, though I have all these gifts and understand all mysteries, I'm nothing. Though I do all of these great works, I'm nothing. And he talks about now love. And I just changed my thoughts a little bit this way, because I've recognized, you know, the God is bringing us to not just brotherly kindness, but He's bringing us into perfect love.
Yeah, that's it.
And these two have to come together. Now, he would say here in verse 8, charity never fails. Whether there be prophecies, they'll fail. Tongues, they'll cease. Knowledge, it'll vanish away. Now, we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away.
Yeah.
Now, Jesus, there's two thoughts. Let me just say this. Some people just take this to be the word, it's perfect, therefore we have no gifts. Others take this to be, well, the part that we know is our theophany, and once we're there, we'll get it. But I'd like to just bring this to you and just hear me out if you can. I believe we are coming to that which is perfect. I believe it is here. I believe it is influencing us. Does it mean we fully arrived? No. But I believe we are moving into it. And I believe we're understanding, okay, I am not just a flesh man. I am not just a spirit man that should be governed by every emotion. But inside of me, there's a soul. And God is watching over this soul, and this soul is an expression. And I'm coming to my theophany. I'm coming to the part that was always there, that was in the mind of God. And that part it's actually expressing itself sometimes. And I don't even know it's doing it. Because sometimes I don't react out of emotion, but I react because it's Him in me that's reacting. And I it's wonderful when I see that. Now, I made lots of failures in between, but I'm grateful for it. So now Paul is saying, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. But now, so just before I read verse 12, we put that which is known as, and I'd like to say it this way, God has always known His people. He's always known me. But we haven't known that He's known me. You know, if my wife, if she would, you know, when she was young and she looked at me and she kind of was running from me because the Lord had showed her in a dream about me. But if she'd only known how much of a blessing I would be to her, she wouldn't have avoided me all of those years. See? A husband is somebody who sticks by you through all the troubles you wouldn't have had if you stayed single. Remember that. But you know, so now, if I had only known, I wouldn't have wasted so many years on football, on sports. Like, yeah, I enjoy it, but I wouldn't have wasted all that time. And Brother Branham talked about polishing a car. He said, you know, all those years he polished his Ford. He says, what I could have been doing back then. And I just say, listen, we're growing into it. We're coming into it. This is not to give you regret, but it's to say the best is yet to come. God has been doing a work. He's preparing a bride, and she is coming on the scene as Jesus himself was on the scene and maybe not known, but she will shine. She will be a light in this dark world. And one day, the teenager that's been struggling in school, God's going to lift that teenager up and say, this is what you impacted on that school. The housewife that was just there, this is who you were, and you did exactly what I said. To the minister who maybe didn't feel like he always got it right, but it'll be exactly what he wanted. So I'm saying, now we can take the part that God knew. We can talk about the word is something out there that's perfect. But I'm bringing this back to here. This is what Paul is doing. He's saying, now, when I was a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also am known. Now, so in other words, you're going to come to a recognition, and sometimes it's by a characteristic. Sometimes it's like the woman, if I can just touch him. But it's like, if I can be in a place where I can be in harmony and in peace with God, and where I can be a contribution, and I don't care if I'm seen or nothing. I believe the Bible is trying to find our place in Christ. Not to be exalted as something special, but oh God, you take the center. You take the leading role. You speak through me. You think through me. And Lord, let me help someone else somewhere, even if I get no recognition. Now, he says, then shall I know even as I also am known. I believe God's wanting us to come to a place. He has had thoughts of us. He wants to bring us to a place. And I say, oh God, let me be conscious of you. As my wife would, I really used her as an example for the good and for the embarrassment slightly. But you know, the Bible says Noah moved with fear. And he built an ark to the saving of his house. We talk about the other saints. We talk about Abraham, how he left everything behind. And as Abraham went, and he says, not knowing whither he went. And yet he was a pilgrim and a stranger. And the Bible said if he had been mindful of the country he'd gone out of. Now, the devil wants to bring you back in your thinking. The sister Nellie Saunders who, you know, just walked by and just the music caught her. Now, that was her memory and those things. But, you know, how often the devil will come. You drive past a billboard, not the God who answers back, but another billboard, and you start thinking, oh, I remember, yeah. And all of a sudden you're thinking, why am I thinking that? I don't want to go back there. I don't want that. But there's a thing that God saw, and when he expresses his love and his heart to you. And I just believe that, Lord, let us be rightful representatives of the message. That is not that we're robots or we're cookie cutters or that we just got to get the right doctrine. But let me be the expression that you wanted on earth. I can't sing like Brother Steve can sing. And don't have to agree so quickly. Okay. But you know what? But it when he sings, and it just fits. That's never been said of me. And it's okay, that's fine. The Bible says, earnestly desire the best gifts. So I'm still desiring that. Not jealous over it, just desiring it. You know, but it fits, right? And it's like the sister here, when I listen to a service and I hear, praise God, and it fits. You know, and then the Brother Mark is back there, and when I see him, you know, out at the booth, and I see different, it fits. And you know what? Let me fit. I was reading, I shared it with Brother John, but I'll read Spurgeon as a devotional. And Spurgeon's talking about the locusts. He picks a scripture out of Isaiah, and he says, think about the locusts. They don't break their ranks. He says, they just march in harmony. He says, they're in tune with their maker. They just move together. They walk together. And then he talks about how the stars and everything goes. He says, oh, if we as believers could be so in touch with our maker. And he says, we wouldn't break one another's ranks. We would march together. We would do these things. And he'd say, oh, brother, that's just a pie in the sky dream. This is the message. Don't you know about it? Now, I know about all that, but I believe God has a vision. And I believe that I want to walk in that vision. I want to find myself in that vision. I want to be in that. And I want it to be, and I've really, you know, Brother John, I am, like I said, 40 years ago, I was baptized in this area. And now here I am, and, you know, like, our average age is 57. So I'm a little older. She's a little younger. She keeps bringing the average up every year. But anyway, you know, I didn't think I would be here. But I'm here, and now I have to think, I may not be here at the end, but Lord, let me do the season, the time that I should be with all that's in me. And this is just some thoughts. I had other things I could go, but I feel like I'm just going to slow down right here, and I just want to encourage you, and I want to say I appreciate this congregation. I appreciate all of you, and I appreciate the work that you're doing, and I appreciate Brother John and Brother Steve. I appreciate the musicians and you know, like, I watch Brother Solomon, and I just see him growing, and I see different things, and I say, God bless you. And I just want to encourage you, like, we're here just for a little time. And I if I could just be more conscious of God while I'm here and not measure by what I see around me, what I see others doing, but just to be conscious and, you know, then naturally fulfill the part that he wants me to fulfill. And so I believe that we can have that. And I'm going to just slow down right here. I'm going to invite musicians to come. And this is just a little Sunday night exhortation. You know, the Lord willing, maybe some other time we'll do something again. But I just want to say I love the Lord, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful for his leading in our lives, Brother Sam, that here we are many years later, and we're standing, and we want to keep standing, and we want to, no matter what was gone up and down, we want to keep moving forward, and I just want to say I love him. Do you love him? Amen. Let's stand together, and I don't know where I'm at with my time or anything, but I just going to slow it there, and like I said...